Vente Bolros for creative disturbance.
So, Dr. Sen, or Professor Sen, I...
Amartya.
All right. Are you sure?
Amartya,
it's going to be very hard.
If you find it difficult, call me Amartya Sen, but Amartya is much better.
All right. So, and I'm going to say Amartya because that's more comfortable for me.
Are you from Bengal?
I am.
Oh, I see. Okay. Then
no, so it's easier for me.
Then it's comfortable.
Yes.
Where are you from?
I grew up in Delhi, but my ancestors are from Sylhet.
That's from Sylhet.
All right, so Amartya, you first brought up the issue of missing women back in 1990 in one of your publications, right?
Yes.
What prompted you to look into that issue to start off?
Well, I was working on it through the 80s, actually. And I, in fact, published something before that in 87, actually, in Delhi. But I was increasingly concerned about the fact that... there was clear evidence of gender discrimination in parts of India and elsewhere. And I did two studies in the 80s. One was a study of some Bombay hospitals. And I was trying to check how ill are the children when they're brought to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out that the girls were much more ill than the boys. And the right way of reading it is that a girl has to be much more ill before she is brought to the hospital, whereas in the case of boys, at the first signs of illness, they go. There was one sign. And I also did, in 1982, I think,
mm-hmm.
82 or 83, I'm not sure, study of some villages where I tried to weigh the children to look at their nutritional care. And, you know, this was a cross-section study. I wasn't waiting there for 5 years, but I got enough number from children 0, 1 month, 2 months, all the way to 5 years. And at the time of birth, the girls seemed to be weighed much the same as the boys.
Mm-hmm.
By the 5 year, mm-hmm. they had fallen substantially behind the boys.
Mm-hmm.
So I did a joint study with Samar Bhagwanil Sengupta, and we published that, those results, I think in the Economic Political Weekly. So it was clear that there was a neglect of girls going on.
Mm-hmm.
And there were others who have written on it. Lincoln Chen, for example, has written on it with Bangladeshi data and so on. So I wanted to look at it. But you see, missing women is just it's a rather dramatic way of pointing to the neglect of girls compared with boys with consequence on death rate.
Mm-hmm.
You get much the same information which you get age-specific death rate.
Mm-hmm.
But human mind doesn't comprehend that very easily.
Mm-hmm.
But more than 100 million women missing, which was what the New York Reviews, it was on the cover of the newspaper, did communicate immediately. So I was looking both at corroboration of my fear and also getting a way of putting it that would attract the attention of people. Because since I believe both in getting my economics and sociology right, I also believe in getting my actions right. And so that's what I was concerned with.
Right.
And then I did an article also, people don't read in British Medical Journal.
Uh-huh.
They read the New York Review, they like that rather than the British Medical Journal. But they have the same subject matter,
right,
done about the same time.
So in your book, The Argumentative Indian, at one point you allude to the concept of freedom of thought, which you also mentioned a while ago in terms of enlightenment for women. And you talk about the voice and assertiveness of a woman. But I want to know how you can do that through policy making, because what improvements, how do you change the education system? How do you change the policies, the laws, perhaps, to bring about that freedom of thought? Or is there an alternative way of doing that?
Well, that's a very good question, too. But, you know, I think there is no magic bullet on this. The kind of issue that moved Mary Wollstonecraft in the 18th century led her in the book published in 1792 called A Vindication of the Rights of Woman, is that you could never find a solution in one method of dealing with it. There are many phases, many simultaneous initiatives that you have to undertake. In it is the issue of schooling. In it also is an issue of media discussion.
Mm-hmm.
In it also is public debates and political debates.
Mm-hmm.
To all of which Mary Wollstonecraft was referring. And I think the issue of freedom of thought comes there. You know, there have been women who have been very articulate
mm-hmm.
over history in any country,
yes.
including in India. The question, how could you expand it? Expansion of schooling itself would do something.
First off, yes.
Awareness of the gender issue will do something. Having better health care so that the woman is not worried about dying while giving childbirth and not constantly worried about how to deal with the dysentery of the child.
Mm-hmm.
That would give women more time.
Mm-hmm.
Earning an independent income makes women have a voice which is stronger than if you don't have any independent income, if you are dependent on other people earning outside income. Mm-hmm. This is an artificial distinction because men, even in a kind of, when there's a complete separation of roles, men could not work outside
mm-hmm.
unless women looked after the family mm-hmm. life and the children and the elderly and the cooking and the cleaning and so on. However, the way credit is given, those who go and work outside
mm-hmm.
tend to get much more credit. So it's one of the observed factor is that women's outside employment reduces, say, fertility rate.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the connection there? Well, fertility, the lives that are most battered by frequent childbearing and rearing is that of young women.
Yes.
And having an independent income, as well as having an education,
mm-hmm.
increases the voice of young women in family affairs.
Right.
And then this was a study that was done by Jean Drez Mamotamurti, who would later become a postdoctoral
mm-hmm.
Fellow of mine. That was, and that they showed that if you look at the variations in Indian districts, where in those days, this is dealing with 70s and 80s data, fertility rate varied between 7 per couple to 1.5 per couple. And the two factors that are statistically significant are women's education, literacy, and women's gainful employment. And everything else is statistically insignificant. I think these are statements about women's voice and freedom of thought. However, the problem is that what is being possible dealing with reducing the frequency of childbirth and reducing the neglect of girls once they're born has not had the same effectiveness in reducing sex-specific abortion, that is, boy preference in the prenatal stage.
Mm-hmm.
There, the freedom of thought requires more politics, more agitation. Oddly enough, Mary Wollstonecraft does talk about them too.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, in the 1990 paper, you sort of put in a reference saying that economic development leads to a worsening in some ways of women's situations. Is there some kind of a correlation, if you look back to the era of the Industrial Revolution, that in the initial bursts of women empowerment, that, or women's economic independence, when they start gaining that, can you draw a parallel between that, perhaps?
I didn't quite say that, you know. What I did say is that economic development on its own may not achieve that.
I see.
And I gave some example, particularly, I think, from Scandinavia,
mm-hmm.
where it yes. went in an opposite direction. But that was partly because men were benefiting from economic development unusually more than women in that phase. That didn't happen everywhere. For example, in the fact that the British cotton textile industry,
mm-hmm.
women played a very big part
yes.
in Manchester and Lancashire generally,
mm-hmm.
meant that the gender issue was intimately connected with economic development in a positive way.
Yes.
So it really depends on that. I was mainly saying just don't rely on economic development being the magic bullet. In order to reduce gender inequality, you have to work for
right.
it
right.
as a conscious objective. That was my point.
All right.
Hey, we're done.
Okay, are we done? We're done with time. All right. Okay. Thank you
That's
so much.
Very nice.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Vente Polvorosh for creative disturbance.